This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWired, and I am here with Nick Giordano, and he is the NPPC Vice President and Council of International Affairs. How are you, Nick?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Well, you just gave a very engaging presentation on emerging markets, pork streaks, and I was surprised, actually, when you actually started talking about some of these markets that are emerging for pork, some that people are going to be shocked to hear. But let's start talking a little bit first about some of the current trade issues that NPPC is currently working on behalf of your members.
Well, our number one defensive issue has been Mexico trucking. And I'm very pleased that President Calderon and President Obama just announced an agreement in principle that hopefully will lead to a full resolution. NPPC has been lobbying this issue hard for quite some time, and we went into overdrive in August when pork was added to the retaliation list. No question, we've lost some sales to domestic Mexican competition, to competition from Canada. Canada's increased significantly its exports to Canada to Mexico since August. So we're very, very pleased that the Obama administration has taken this step, and we very much support their efforts, appreciate it, and look forward to this retaliation that Mexico has put in place because of the trucking dispute to be suspended and for the duties to go back to the normal zero rate.
Well, that'll be great, and then hopefully you'll be able to work to get some of those, not only issues resolved, but get our exports back up to the market, correct?
Well, we're the number one exporter in the world. We're on average the past 5 years the low-cost producer. I think we've got a product that's second to none in terms of safety and quality, and we're really the poster child for the North American Free Trade Agreement. I mean, our exports since the NAFTA went in value terms are up over 700%. We just weren't exporting that much to Mexico thanks to the NAFTA and tariffs falling to zero. It's a huge market. In fact, last year, not quite, almost $1 billion in pork exports alone going to Mexico. So when we, anytime you put a duty on one country and not on others, no matter how competitive you are, you lose some of your competitiveness.
Right.
And that happened to us because of this trucking problem. Now it looks like hopefully in a short amount of time, the duties will be reduced and go to zero. And, you know, without question, that will allow us to sell more pork into Mexico.
Well, you mentioned about how the significant increase in exports. So let's talk about that. What have been some of the emerging markets that NPPC has opened up for our country?
Well, you know, Mexico, some might call it an emerging market. I don't know. It's really a middle-class country now, and I think a lot of that is due to the North American Free Trade Agreement. We're exporting almost $1 billion there. So let's talk about emerging markets that people commonly refer to. They talk about the BRICS country: Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Well, Brazil is a competitor country. We don't export a lot there. I think we're working on a market barrier. But we wouldn't look at this as a huge potential market. Having said that, we're very familiar with the market. Their costs, where most of the pork is produced, is in southern Brazil. We're a lower-cost producer than southern Brazil. In Mato Grosso and central western Brazil, they're very competitive. But then when you add in the transportation costs, we stack up well against them. And when you look at what their currency has done and what most economists are predicting for, you know, the next 5-10 years, we stack up very well against them. I don't think there's any question, though, as you look at growing middle class in the world, I mean, world population by, say, 2045 going to 9 billion, most of the economic growth will be outside the United States. People will be switching to meat-based diets. No question that Brazil will continue to be a competitor. I think you get a look at North America and Brazil as the areas that are really going to be the supermarket to the world. When you look at Asia, and the huge population there and the factors of production, I think most ag economists and certainly those that know the pork industry will tell you their costs are much higher than ours. They're not well situated to produce pork going forward. They have all sorts of challenges. And I think, you know, Brazil more so as a competitor and less as a market. But again, we stack up very well against them. And I think we're currently, I'm told by the economists, the low-cost producer in the world. Then you look at Russia. We've had significant growth to Russia. A lot of that was because of the down payment that we received that went into effect about 2004 on Russia's accession to the WTO. We've done very well there. Exports went up a lot, and so much so that we became a victim of our success. We've had a lot of hurdles and obstacles to overcome there. We're working on that. We're working in the context of Russia's accession to the WTO. Working very closely with the Obama administration and the U.S. Congress to get the best possible deal for the pork industry. And I think, you know, Russia, unlike, you know, China and most of the Asian countries, does have the factors of production. They can produce grain competitively. They're a big grain producer. So I think we look at Russia, we're going to have continued opportunity there, but it's, you know, not in the same league as, say, China. Before I get to China, India, which is one of the BRICS countries, again, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. A history of vegetarianism there, majority Hindu country, roughly, I don't know, don't quote me on this, but maybe 15% or so Islamic population. The Christian population, smaller, maybe 3%, and they're not. I'm generalizing, but they don't have a high level of disposable income. But having said that, the younger Indian people are very open to eating meat. Things are changing in India. I was there recently. They actually have a high level officials in charge of stimulating meat production and consumption in India. So we're looking at opportunities there. We're studying the market, and I don't think there's any question. I mean, when you look at India, it's going to pass China as the biggest market in the world, the biggest, most populous country. Even if you look at it as a niche market, there's a big niches, and it's certainly a market. You know, we have barriers that we're working on now. We can't ship there. So we're going to ship product there in the future. There's no question about that. But of the four BRICS countries, no question that the greatest opportunity is in China. I mean, their costs of production are double ours. They're throwing all sorts, the government's throwing all sorts of resources at it, but there's going to be a trade-off. I mean, pork is a very important part of the Chinese diet. It's about 6% of their consumer price index. So how high are they willing to let food price inflation go? So we are very well positioned going forward. Imports are less than 2% of pork consumption in China, the biggest pork consuming market in the world. You know, if we got just 0.25% of additional Chinese consumption, that would be equivalent to, that would generate over 3,300 direct new jobs in the pork industry, and would create exports of over $250 million and add over $3 to the value of each live hog marketed in the U.S. And that's just 0.25% of additional market in China. I mean, the potential is incredible. And then when you look at other countries, such that the United States is negotiating with under the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which NPPC was, I think, the first organization in the private sector back when this was called the P4 initiative back in the Bush administration. I know we were the first ones to come out in support of it publicly. And then when President Obama actually launched the negotiations, if we weren't the first ones to hit send on our news release, we were one of the first. And you know, that's because trade has been so good for our producers. We're so competitive. We've got a product that's second to none in safety, second to none in quality. And when market barriers fall, we win. So you look at a country like Vietnam that's part of this. You look at the countries that are part of the TPP. And the possibility of this, and I think that this administration views this, you know, it's the United States and eight countries now. Japan is talking about making a decision by June as to whether or not they're going to ask to join. And then, of course, if they ask to join, the United States and the other members have to make a decision. You know, for the pork industry and the rest of American agriculure, it's a no-brainer because, they, I mean, that's not too many of us could conceive of, you know, even a couple of years ago, Japan completely opening its food and agriculture market. And they're contemplating that there. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that discussion's underway. There's a lot of people in Japan that think it will happen. We hope it does. Then we've got to see what the United States and the other TPP members say. But this is just to give you an idea of the potential here in TPP, and the vision is for an Asia-Pacific-wide free trade agreement. And the U.S., frankly, is driving the bus. It's a comprehensive agreement. It's high standard. And it's one that Americans can be proud of. Our trade negotiators are doing a great job. They recently were in Chile. The next round will be in Singapore. They'll be around in Vietnam in June, and it's something that MPPC is intricately involved in. Vietnam will be, you know, maybe you can, it's certainly, you know, it's tenth the size of China, and it's probably maybe think China 10 years ago in terms of potential, but there's tons of potential there. We're shipping there now. A great potential. When you look at other Southeast Asian countries that might become part of this TPP, the Philippines, we've experienced tremendous growth there, and we're going to continue to grow there. And you know, we hope that at some point they join the TPP. Thailand and other countries in Asia. So we are very well poised in the U.S. pork industry. As you look at what's happening in the world, population increasing, global economic growth, incomes going up, more people becoming middle class, switching to meat-based diets. Boy, it's we're in a heck of a good position, and it's very gratifying to see the way our exports have grown, and I believe the best is yet to come.
So for pork producers, where can they go to get more information and follow the work that MPPC and your team is doing on opening the export market?
They can go to NPPC.org, our website. We've got all sorts of information on it. They can contact us in our Washington office or our Des Moines office. Of course, routinely reach out to our producers. We reach out through our states, and we're always looking for more input. And we reach out to other allied industry, all to try and develop and implement policies that work for our producers, that make them more competitive, that are fair and science-based, and add to their bottom line.
Great. Thanks, Nick.
You're welcome.